The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, welcome to the first Wednesday edition of the show. Like I said, I'm going to be adding Wednesday shows throughout football season just because, you know, I like to do my Trop 10 power rankings. And really the only good day to do NFL power rankings is after Monday Night Football. So it's definitely not something you want to do on a Monday show because you still have Monday's game. And this week we actually have two Monday Night Football games. So that always plays a factor into power rankings. So I decided we're going to do Wednesday shows throughout football season. And so, yeah, and it's mostly going to focus on football, and they're usually going to be kind of quick, short shows, meaning they're probably going to be about like 15, 20 minute shows, just because I'm mostly going to be focusing on my power rankings, recapping the Monday night game, previewing the Thursday night game, and then breaking down the college football AP top 10 for the week. So let's get right into it with the Monday night football game. That was the weirdest end to a game I have ever seen. Now, granted, Nathaniel Hackett is a rookie coach. This is his first team he has ever coached in his entire career. So you can't expect perfection, but wow. Well, first of all, you could tell, because this is Russell Wilson's first game back, I thought it was weird that the crowd booed him just because, I mean, Seattle has been known for nothing. There has never been a good team out there. I mean, yeah, they've got teams, but they've never won anything. And they're usually the forgotten teams. Nobody usually ever really remembers the Mariners. Hell, the NBA abandoned them because they didn't get that much support. They ended up moving to Oklahoma City. That's how bad it is being in Seattle for an NBA team. And Russell Wilson, you know, I mean, he made the Seahawks a relevant team. He took you to two Super Bowls and won you one of them. So I don't understand how you could boo the dude. Now, I do get from a fan perspective, you don't want to be rooting for the guy to win, of course, but you should at least give the dude his due. Especially when, you know, it really wasn't his fault that he left the Seahawks. I mean, the Seahawks were looking to trade him, at least from what the rumors have said, that they were looking to trade him a couple years ago. So it sounds like there was kind of a rift between him and the front office, or him and Pete Carroll or whoever, but it's not just on him. So you Seattle fans who were booing him, I think you're kind of lame, but whatever. Regardless, you could kind of tell that was getting to Russell Wilson. I mean, it is loud. Seattle has always been known as a loud stadium, and you can tell on certain occasions that the crowd does affect the offense, and it definitely did. The offensive line didn't really block that well, and I kind of had a feeling that was going to be an issue for the Broncos this season. Their offensive line is fairly mediocre. So I already had a feeling that Russell Wilson was going to be running for his life a lot of this season. But overall, I mean, you could tell that the defense, they played him well, and it just wasn't really a good game from the Denver offense. But that last drive, they actually had a shot. It was 4th and 5. They had all of their timeouts left, and there was about like 48 seconds left on the clock, something like that. And I remember sitting there going, well, why aren't they calling a timeout? And even, you know, Troy Aikman sitting there saying, they're going to call a timeout. And it looked like they were going to call a timeout, but they were waiting till the last second, which I just found to be odd, because I'm like, why would you do that? Because they were too far for a field goal attempt. You would think with the 3 timeouts, the 48-ish, 50-ish seconds left on the play clock, you're going to go for it on 4th and 5. Well, they ended up running the clock all the way down to about 20 seconds and then calling the timeout. And then they bring their kicker out for a 64-yard field goal attempt. Now, I would understand this field goal attempt if this is the last and only resort you have, meaning you have no timeouts, you have a few seconds left on the clock, and your only last resort is a 64-yard field goal. But for some odd reason, Nathaniel Hackett decided to go for the 64-yard field goal. And don't get me wrong, they actually do have a solid kicker in McManus who he can make the long kick, and he's very accurate and he's very consistent, but to throw him out there for a 64-yard field goal attempt when you have plenty of time, plenty of timeouts, and you got Russell Wilson. I mean, yes, the offense was pretty stagnant, but at least give it a shot. Well, they went for the 64-yard field goal attempt, and guess what? They missed it. And so there was like, what, 15 seconds left on the clock for the Seattle Seahawks. Of course, they're going to come out and kneel. I don't know what the hell Nathaniel Hackett was thinking, but then when Seattle starts kneeling, dude starts calling timeouts. I'm like, you have no shot at getting this ball back with these timeouts. What are you doing? And so that was just like the weirdest end to a game. Seattle did end up winning the game 17-16. Shout out to Geno Smith, man. The dude came out on fire. I think he went, he made like his first like eight straight passes. I think at halftime he only had one incompletion. So he did have a solid first half. The second half, the Seattle offense really started to taper off. Jamal Adams is injured. So Seattle, they got the win. But to me, I don't think they're a good team still. That was just a huge head scratcher from the Broncos. Of course, Nathaniel Hackett, he actually did say in his press conference, I think today or yesterday, that it was a mistake. That he should not have gone for the field goal. He should have gone for it on 4th and 5. And so he just shit the bed in that instance. Luckily for him, it was just the first game of the season. They've got plenty of season to go. That's definitely going to be a learning experience, I imagine, for him. But that was just the weirdest. Like, when it ended, I was like, that was just the weirdest end to a game I have ever seen in my life. So weird, but Seattle got the win. So let's move on to my top 10 NFL power rankings for this week. Now, my power rankings are going to be much, much different than everybody else's power rankings. And the reason why is because I actually do real power rankings, meaning I don't even take into account last season. These are fresh power rankings where I am judging you off of this week and this week alone. All the rest of these power rankings, they're just like using last year as their model and then kind of going off of this week. Nah. I am going off of this week, which means there's going to be teams in this week's power rankings that are going to immediately fall out because basically I only chose teams that won this week. There was no way in hell I was putting the Packers on here because even though I still think they're a good team, that was a shitty showing from them and they don't deserve to be on my top 10. And then you got the Rams who also had a horrible showing as well. They don't deserve to be on my top 10 this week. Now, both teams, if they have great showings next week, yeah, you're damn right. Those teams are probably going to elevate into my top 10. But my top 10 this week is based solely on teams who won. So it was kind of difficult to figure out a top 10, because for real, the top five teams I think are legit teams. The bottom five, a couple are legit, and then a couple definitely are going to be immediately falling out and probably never showing their faces again. But I'm doing legit power rankings where you are going in real time and judging them. So I'm going off of week one, all winners this week, and then I will progress on as the season goes on. But I ain't counting the Rams because they won the Super Bowl last year. Nah, those fools got their asses beat. They ain't in the top 10 this week. All right, so let's start off with number one on my top 10 NFL power rankings, the Buffalo Bills. Obviously, I picked them as my Super Bowl pick, and they came right out the gate, and they absolutely smashed the Rams. Now, they definitely have some room for improvement. The turnovers were a big deal. We'll see what happens with their ground attack, if it's able to last. But hey, they won. They beat the Rams, a legit team. They beat them 31-10 in their house. Josh Allen had a spectacular game, went 26 for 31 with 297 yards, 3 touchdowns, and a rushing touchdown as well, and 54 yards rushing. The Bills defense had 7 sacks. So they had a great game, and you could just feel the presence of Von Miller already in game one. And then can't forget about Stephon Diggs. He had 122 yards receiving as well as a touchdown. So the Buffalo Bills, to me, number one ranked team this week. Then at number two on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Kansas City Chiefs. They demolished the Arizona Cardinals 44-21. Patrick Mahomes had a huge game. He went 30 for 39 with 360 yards and 5 touchdowns. Travis Kelce also had a huge game with 121 yards and 1 of those touchdowns from Mahomes. Basically, they went right into Arizona and just absolutely annihilated them. It was basically like they had the ball and they basically scored every time they touched that ball on offense. So the Chiefs, they were rolling offensively. There's still questions defensively, but Arizona should have had a much better showing for what kind of a team they are. And so the Chiefs at number two. Then at number three on my top 10 NFL power rankings, the Los Angeles Chargers, almost said San Diego. They beat the Las Vegas Raiders 24-19. And you could just see the huge improvement in their defense this year. First of all, they traded for Khalil Mack in the offseason. He comes right out the gate, game one, and has 3 sacks, 3 of the 6 defensive sacks for the day. Justin Herbert had a huge game. He went 26 for 34 with 279 yards and 3 touchdowns. And it was a close game, but the Chargers really had the lead right out the gate, and they were just able to hold them off. But the Chargers looking like a really, really good team. If this defense is able to keep it going, you really want to watch out for the Chargers. Then at number four on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I've got the Baltimore Ravens. They beat the New York Jets 24-9. Lamar Jackson, he had a huge game. He went 17 for 30 with 213 yards and 3 touchdowns. The defense had a huge game. They just really held it down. They had a couple sacks. They had a couple of turnovers. Really just overall, the Ravens just absolutely dominated. They looked like the same good old Ravens where they kill you with the ground attack. The defense is able to hold it down. And then you got Lamar Jackson just doing Lamar Jackson magic. Then at number five on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This past week, they beat my Dallas Cowboys 19-3. Leonard Fournette had a huge game. He went for 127 yards. And then all the wide receivers. You knew coming into this game, Tom Brady was going to have his pick of the litter between Mike Evans, Godwin, and Julio Jones, and he got the ball to all three of them, and they all made huge plays, including Julio Jones, man. I really thought this was a big pickup for the Bucs this offseason because, you know, Godwin, he's coming off of the ACL injury, and now he's got a hamstring injury, so it doesn't look very serious, but he's still kind of an injury-prone guy. Evans also tends to be injury prone, but he's just a high powered receiver. So I'm looking at Jones to be that guy who's going to be kind of like a secret weapon for Tom Brady to go to when he needs it. And he made a couple big plays against the Cowboys, and I expect him to do that the rest of the season. Then at number six on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I've got the Minnesota Vikings. They beat the Green Bay Packers 23-7. Justin Jefferson, he came right out the gate, had a huge game, went 184 yards with 2 touchdowns, and it was amazing how wide open he was. You would kind of think that the Packers would be on alert for Justin Jefferson because the dude went off last season, and he is my pick for Offensive Player of the Year this year, and he started the season off looking good. So the rest of the league better be on notice that you need to look out for Justin Jefferson. But you look out for Justin Jefferson and you got Adam Thielen on the other side. So the Vikings have their plethora of weapons on the offensive side of the ball. But you got to look at the defense as well. They really held it down against Aaron Rodgers. While his offensive line, they're dealing with some injuries right now. Still, Rodgers really wasn't able to find any receivers, and he didn't have a lot of time. So defensively, the Vikings looked pretty solid, at least in game one. Then at number 7 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I got the Miami Dolphins. They beat the New England Patriots 20-7. Tyreek Hill, he started off his first game in a Dolphins uniform with 94 yards. And Tua Tagovailoa, I cannot believe this is a legit stat. This is one of the last players on earth where I would believe they would have this stat, but Tua is 4-0 versus the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick in his career to start as a Miami Dolphins starting quarterback. That says a lot. Now, granted, these aren't the same Patriots, but still, to go 4-0 against Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots, come on, man, that's a pretty dope accomplishment right there. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I got the New Orleans Saints. They eked out one against the Atlanta Falcons, 27-26 on a last-second field goal. Jameis Winston actually had a pretty good game. He went 23 for 34 with 269 yards and 2 touchdowns. Michael Thomas was on the receiving end of those 2 touchdowns. He came back big. You know, he's missed about the last year and a half, 2 years, due to injury and then just issues with the team. But he came back strong, and he looked real good. Then you also had Jarvis Landry, their offseason pickup this offseason, and he went for 114 yards. So offensively, the Saints didn't look too bad. I mean, the Falcons aren't that great of a team, but they started off the first half real slow and then started to get it going. Then the defense started to help him out as well. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NFL power rankings at the Philadelphia Eagles, they beat the Detroit Lions 38-35. AJ Brown, they traded for him in the offseason, and he just comes right out the gate and gets 155 yards, and that was a career high for him, which says a lot because AJ Brown has had quite the career so far. And actually, the Eagles offense had a total of 455 yards on 10 possessions, which is just crazy. So the Eagles really dominated this game to start. They did start to kind of fall apart defensively as the game wore on. Detroit did start to get it going, but their lead was too much for the Detroit Lions to overcome. Then rounding out my top 10 NFL power rankings this week, the Pittsburgh Steelers. They beat the Cincinnati Bengals in overtime, 23-20. They forced 5 turnovers from Joe Burrow. 4 of those were in the first half, and that's the first time in Joe Burrow's career he's ever had 5 turnovers. So that was a big game from the Steelers' defense. They had 6 sacks total, and they just had a big game defensively. On the offensive side of the ball, they weren't that good. They started off pretty hot, but then they just started to taper off as the game went on. I really don't expect to see the Steelers in my top 10 really for the rest of the season. I was pretty much reaching with this one just because it really wasn't that great of a showing from them offensively. But hey, man, they held it down. They beat the reigning AFC champions. And it's a division opponent, so it's always a big win to beat your division opponent. So that's the top 10 NFL power rankings for this week. So let's get into the Thursday night football game. This week is going to be a great matchup between the Los Angeles Chargers and the Kansas City Chiefs. Right now, the Chiefs are a 3.5-point favorite. this year, I actually think that the Chargers are finally going to be a team that's able to get over the hump. And, you know, last year, I kind of felt like they had a chance. And they did play the Chiefs really well last year. But this year, I expect the Chargers to dominate. I actually think they're going to win their division, and this is the year I think they're going to finally get over the Kansas City Chiefs and beat them. And I think they're going to beat them in this game. I actually think it's going to be a Chargers win, 38-35. I do think it's going to be an offensive shootout. Keenan Allen is not expected to play for the Chargers, which is a big blow to them. But really, Justin Herbert, he just looks like he's... It looks like it's going to be okay without Allen, at least for this game, because the Chiefs' defense is really not that good. But one big missing piece is actually going to be on the Chiefs' side of the ball. Their kicker, I just read right before I went on air, is their kicker, Harrison Butker, probably the best or second best kicker in the league, very automatic, and usually you would think kickers aren't a big deal. Well, these days, kickers are a big deal, and Butker, he has made some huge kicks for the Chiefs, and it turns out he is not going to be playing tomorrow either. And I think that is actually going to be kind of the deciding factor where I feel like they might end up missing an extra point or missing a kind of long field goal. But I also think the Chargers defense is gonna contain Patrick Mahomes as best they can, because obviously that's a tough task for any defense. But I do think the Chargers, I'm taking the Chargers in an upset this week, because I do think the Chargers are going to finally get the best of the Chiefs, and I think they're going to take over this division and be one of the best teams in the AFC, and it starts this week on Thursday Night Football. All right, and so now let's round out with the college football AP Top 10 for this week. Starting off with, we do have a new number one. That would be the Georgia Bulldogs. Right now, they're currently 2-0, and the reason why they got bumped up over Alabama is because they absolutely demolished their opponent 33-0. This week, they play South Carolina. I expect it to be another win for Georgia. Georgia looks just really fucking good right now. They are the defending national champions, so hey, can't really argue against them being number one. Then at number two, you have the Alabama Crimson Tide. And the reason why they fell is because my Texas Longhorns actually played them pretty well. They actually almost got the win. It was a 20-19 win for Alabama. So they still got the win. But man, it was the Texas defense really just held down this Alabama offense, which is known for being electric. I mean, hell, their quarterback, he just won the Heisman Trophy last year. He's already a front runner for the Heisman Trophy this year. And the Texas defense really just took it to him. So that's why Alabama fell. This week they're playing ULM, so they should get right back on track with another ass kicking this week. Then at number three, you have Ohio State, who's still 2-0. Oh my God, I'm sorry. My stupid dogs are barking at something. I have no idea what. Honestly, I'm not sure if you can even hear them, but I am kind of annoyed. So if I apologize for the stupid idiocy going on in the background. Then at number three is Ohio State. They're 2-0. They just beat Arkansas State 45-12. This week they play, I have no idea who TOL is. That's the abbreviation for the team they're playing. Oh, it's probably Toledo, would be my guess, but I could be wrong. But regardless, it's probably going to be another ass-kicking from Ohio State this week. Then at number four, you've got Michigan. They're 2-0. They just beat Hawaii 56-10, and their opponent this week is UConn. Then at number five, you've got Clemson, who's 2-0. They beat Furman 35-12 this week. They play LT, whoever the fuck LT is, the abbreviation. I apologize. I probably should have. You know, with college football, I don't usually like go and look up abbreviations because they usually are pretty easy. But then you forget that there's all these rando fucking teams out of nowhere. So I'm sorry. I have no idea who LT is. And with that being said, they're probably going to get their asses kicked by Clemson this week. So good luck, LT. Maybe they're the College of LaDainian Tomlinson or something like that. Then at number six this week, the Oklahoma Sooners, 2-0. They beat Kent State this week 33-3. And their opponent this week they're going to be at Nebraska, who just fired their coach. So that should probably be a win for the stupid-ass Sooners. Then at number seven, you have the USC Condoms. I mean, the USC Trojans. They are 2-0, and they kicked the crap out of Stanford 41-28. This week, they have Fresno. Then at number eight, you've got Oklahoma State. They are 2-0, and they just took out Arizona State 34-17. And then they have this week, they're against ARPB. I really have no fucking idea who ARPB is. We'll just call them ass-reaming peanut butter. So ass-reaming peanut butter is probably going to get their asses beat by Oklahoma State this week. Then at number nine, you have Kentucky. They are a surprising 2-0, and they just beat Florida this week, 26-16, in a crazy game. The streets of Kentucky went nuts because, as you can imagine, not a lot of big wins happen in Kentucky, especially for the football team. Kentucky's usually known for their basketball team. Great basketball team, but football, not so much. But they did get a huge win against Florida, 26-16. This week they play YSU. Your Slut University is what we're going to go with there. And then at number 10, we've got Arkansas. They are 2-0. They just took out South Carolina this week, 44-30. And this weekend they play Missouri State. Then it's also just worth noting that my Texas Longhorns actually did crack the top 25 this week. That win or that loss against Alabama bumped them up to number 21. This is the first showing they've had all season in the top 25, so that's great. I don't expect much from them. Like I said, I don't expect much, but hey, that's great that they're ranked. Hopefully we could get a win this week. We're playing UTSA, so we should get a win this week, but the quarterback situation's a little bit iffy, so who the hell knows what's going on there. But hey, the Longhorns are ranked. Hook 'em horns, motherfucker. And that's the show for today. So I will talk to you fools on Friday.